So if you do take the middle way as being universal, rather than just, something specific to the Buddhist tradition, which is associated with commitment to the Buddhist tradition, I think there's a lot of implications for that if we take the middle way to be generally universal. So one is that it really doesn't require a specifically Buddhist justification. It only requires a practical justification. That will mean that it would be quite possible to discover the middle way in all kinds of ways, which might have nothing whatsoever to do with Buddhism, in different cultural context, in different cultural contexts, different times, and so on. Also means obviously it can be practiced in all kinds of different contexts. It also means that the middle way can be justified, can stand, even if everything I've said today about the Buddha is completely wrong. You know, so even if a scholar comes along and says that's complete rubbish, the Kalama Sutta is faked or whatever, you know, there's always this possible argument which wouldn't necessarily be of any relevance. Or if the Buddha never existed at all. If the middle way can be practiced in any context or culture or tradition, that gives us the intriguing possibility of a Christian middle way, an Islamic middle way, obviously an atheist or utilitarian middle way, or whatever. Mm. Yeah. Now, obviously, with any tradition, there will be authority claimed in that tradition, which the middle way will imply that we don't accept at face value. But at the same time, there will also be useful stuff in that tradition, which is actually telling us something in our experience, which helps us find that balancing point. So if we come from a particular context or a particular tradition, we'll obviously have better access to what that tradition's telling us, and we'll have it more access to it in a live sort of way, an organic way. So why not make use of that?
Mm-hmm.
Really, that means in effect that the middle way can be a response to whatever kinds of beliefs we start with. There will be certain kinds of ways we sort of grown up to work, which we'll then need to modify in the light of it. So I think that's a useful way of distinguishing traditions themselves from the authorities which they may appeal to. And obviously you can apply that to Buddhism as much as to any other tradition. Okay, so I'm going to stop there for now. So obviously that leads us, that'll just dangle the number of issues which we'll talk up in future days. But over to you, really. What sort of thoughts does that leave you with?
Quite a few. I don't know, but the best place to kind of start is really in terms of I suppose just picking up where you left off there with the I broadly speaking, I find everything you said very convincing, and it's just the details and the specifics, I suppose, that I kind of find myself questioning. And just in terms of something as practical as what metaphors you use. Barry and I were having a discussion about this, and I'm not sure whether it's something that I read in Truth on the Edge or Barry read in something else, but he was talking about the middle way as a singular thing, you know, as a principle, an overarching principle which needs to be, or is helpful to be prioritised. And yet we use the metaphor of a path or a way as being potentially multiple. So you know, there's in many roads lead to Rome, you know, all this kind of thing. And I just wonder whether is there another metaphor that could be used other than way that suggests a principle or a means of navigation rather than the specific route that you take? Because the way suggests a particular route, whereas what the actual principle of the middle way that you're talking about, I think, is a means of navigation, which is something slightly different in terms of metaphor.
Yeah, I think it's a fairly subtle distinction, which it would be. I think you'd come up with a pretty complex image, wouldn't you? You'd have to come up with a complex image to encapsulate it. So, I doubt if that's possible, really, to do it briefly enough. But are you asking there about the middle way as a metaphor as well? Was that part of your thinking there? The idea of is it the only metaphor kind of question?
I'm just kind of exploring the possibility for alternative metaphors for the idea, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think that's an important point, because that's something I'll talk about on Thursday, particularly when we talk about meaning, because I think it's important to be able to switch metaphors, because one of the features of metaphysics is getting stuck in one metaphor and thinking that metaphor is the ultimate metaphor, and there's no other way of thinking about it. One response to that is the metaphor of integration. That's one reason why I've developed integration as an alternative. But they do link together in various ways, obviously. But there's no reason at all why there couldn't be other metaphors, which I haven't thought of yet, or which you may be able to suggest, which would encapsulate the same points. So, in principle, obviously, I think the metaphor is getting at something which is a matter of method. It's about how we treat metaphors, and therefore it's self-limiting. So it's got this sceptical, self-limiting aspect to it, which tries to stop it turning into a piece of metaphysics. But see, we won't necessarily succeed in that unless we're alert enough to the possibility of that it might become like that. And obviously switching between metaphors from time to time might help.
I really sort of resonate with the content of what you're saying, but I have a problem with the term middle way philosophy. Maybe because I really like the idea of the universal nature of this. Maybe it's because it's the connection with Buddhism. For example, when people were asking me, what type of retreat is this? And I said it was a philosophy retreat. I couldn't come out and say it was about middle way philosophy. I felt, maybe I have to question that, why that is, but I find it a mouthful, for one thing, or a practitioner of middle way philosophy. I'd be a lot happier with an ism, I think.
go with Peter's suggestion of middle-ism.
I like that. Pete, this chap that was going to come, we had a little bit of a discussion about it on the SB UK side, and a bit like terms like Tory and Quaker, they started off as mocking terms on derisory terms about these movements, but they became embraced by these movements. Peter came up with the childish word of middle miggle, and I actually really like that, because I think part of this approach also, well, one of the things I really liked about Buddhism is about not taking yourself too seriously, and this has a lot of elements in that too. And so that sort of self-effacing, maybe I should do that, because I
the real friends are going to study middleism.
Yeah. Or, I need to miggle about that.
for a more formal title, have yet to come up with anything better than middle way philosophy, but obviously if you have suggestions.
Yeah, yeah.
but it does contain, well, the early philosophy is used in narrower and broader ways in our culture. You know, you can talk about somebody having a philosophy of life and so on, which is more than just a very formal philosophy. And the middle way does obviously acknowledge its debt to Buddhism.
Of course, yeah. We had another little chat about why not a middle philosophy as opposed to the middle philosophy. I actually put that to you about a year ago, and you actually convinced me with what you said, but I can't remember what it was. Why the middle way?
Well, just as opposed to interject for a minute there, that's kind of what I was getting at in my question. It was like, I don't have a problem with there being a principle that is being promoted here. It's just what I was kind of anxious about is that people will hear that and interpret it as not a principle, but there's a specific way of applying it. You know, this kind of distinction between method and results, almost. You know, I'm just I'm very anxious about steering people away from that. Sorry, I butted in. I don't know if you want to respond to the original question.
I mean, I guess to say a middle way philosophy suggests, obviously, that there are lots of them. And that they're equally valid, which would imply relativism, which is part of what I'm trying to avoid here. So I am suggesting that there is a consistency between the kinds of different ways that different people will understand the way, or the kinds of ways in which different people will optimally respond to conditions, in fact. And that similarity is the middle way, even though it's not an absolute principle expressible in very specific ways beyond that.
Mm-hmm. That works for me. So, do you think about that?
Yeah, I think, that makes sense to me. Yeah.
What are your thoughts, Kat, so far?
Well, I haven't said very much because I don't have anything constructive to say because it's all just music to my ears. particularly, like a particular bit where I was thinking you're just sort of putting into eloquent words many things that I've sort of been thinking but haven't really formulated. And one is particularly the fact that for me, the whole point of this is for practical application in life. I mean, I don't see the point otherwise. And the scholarly quagmire, you know, where you just go, oh, well, it says this word, but then if you look in an older text, and well, you know, in most old texts, you can find and say that it says whatever you want, and what does that really prove? So I'm so there with that. But in general, I think I'm sort of still trying to digest more towards the end, you know, the later stuff. But yeah, in general, I don't have anything to add because it just all makes sense, or as much as I can understand it at the moment.
I thought that thing about the scholarly quagmire is again very relevant to how one might try and communicate these ideas to other people, in the sense that it can be a really useful device to grab people's attention, but if you can get lost in it very easily. It's like, it's good to get people thinking about their assumptions by pointing out some of the contradictions in the traditions, be it Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, whatever. But then that can very easily become an exercise in and of itself rather than a device to see a bigger picture.
Yeah, and it's always useful at times to quote from a philosopher you like or Shakespeare, but not take it too far, you know, that's something that resonates with your experience rather than what that person is saying is has an ultimate authoritative appeal.
Proof of anything.
Yeah.